In a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Well, thank you very much.
Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Well, thank you very much for joining us tonight for another episode of Revelation. I am Peter Kling, the Einstein of Biblical Prophecy, and we're going to actually cover some things tonight that we can actually see going on in our lives today. Evidence of who's in control of this system of evil, and where we are, and how this all came about, and how does it affect us, how it affects us all in a very personal manner. And we're going to take it in a slightly different direction, because we're going to address two interconnecting pieces here. And the one piece has been around for a very long time, for 6,000 years. It developed. And now it's come to its end, or soon will be coming to its end. But interestingly enough, it's all got an interdimensional, extraterrestrial, alien flavor to it. And yet it has its manifestation right here on the planet Earth. And so we do appreciate you joining us today and this evening. This happens to be Thanksgiving, a very interesting day of the year. It's one of the few holidays that is celebrated here in the United States, which isn't political or religious. And yet it's kind of religious. It was started by the Pilgrims. And interestingly enough, the Pilgrims were a religious group that came to this country to escape religious tyranny from England. Think about what's going on over in England today. It's almost reverse religious tyranny with what's happening. But these were people who were escaping the church, the government, and they came to a country to establish a new way of life where they could carry on their way of life in a manner in which they chose, which nobody was going to persecute them for. Then we had the Puritans come over, and several different groups came over. My great-grandmother, she was escaping France, and she migrated to Western Germany, but a lot of people from the same faith. She was a French Huguenot, and the Huguenots came over to escape religious persecution. And people who have tried to get closer to the truth and explore the way that we should actually apply scripture have always been persecuted. They've always been persecuted for escaping the religious dogma that was controlling the people at the time. And it goes deeper. That's another part that we'll cover actually next week. the control of Babylon the Great and the scarlet-colored wild beast. But really tonight we're going to start with what's recorded in Revelation chapter 12. And it's quite interesting. We're going to put a slightly different slant on it. You got to get away from the religious dogma and think about it more scientifically to see exactly what's going on and how it applies in our world today. Because here again, there's another deception we'll be talking about. But Revelation 12 actually covers some very interesting things. It talks about this woman who's arrayed with the sun and the stars. We're not going to really get into that, but it talks about this great dragon. In verse 3, chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "And another sign was seen in heaven, and look, a great fiery colored dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon its head 7 diadems, 7 kingdoms that it was ruling, 7 ruling seats. And a third of the tail drags a third of the stars from heaven." This is important because we're going to be covering this later on as well. It continues and it says, "And it hurled this third of the stars, it hurled them down to the earth." Now, we're going to just drop down here to Revelation chapter 7, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 7, and it says, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels battled with the dragon, and the dragon and its angels battled, but it did not prevail. Neither was a place found for them any longer in heaven. So down the great dragon was hurled, the original serpent, the one called Devil and Satan, who is misleading the entire inhabited earth. He was hurled down to the earth, and his angels were hurled down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come to pass salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ.'" God's kingdom was just established in heaven. You go back to the Our Father prayer. "May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." It's a kingdom. It's not a religion. We're part of a family. Anyway, we're heirs to that kingdom, interestingly enough. But it continues. We're going to just skip down a little bit to verse 12. "On this account, be glad, you heavens, and you who reside in them. Woe for the earth and for the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great anger, knowing he has a short period of time." And we'll stop there. We'll stop there. 7 heads, 10 horns, a rule of power, a fiery colored dragon, which started out as the serpent in Genesis. You know, it's interesting if you read Genesis chapter 3, after the telomere fruit was eaten, the telomere virus-laden fruit was eaten, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was the serpent who deceived Eve, and part of his retribution would be to crawl on his belly in the dust. Well, what kind of... how do you condemn a snake to crawl on its belly in the dust? What kind of insult is that? He does that for a living every day. And most what we consider lizards crawl on their belly in the dust or live in trees. So it's no big insult to them. But a dragon was also a serpent. To have to crawl on his belly in the dust would be a great disgrace. Think about it. But now we've got this fiery colored dragon. What exactly is it? All the beasts in, almost all the beasts in Revelation are seven-headed, ten-horned wild beasts. The seven heads represent, and all wild beasts, include, if you go back to the book of Daniel and the things that he was shown, wild beasts were used there to represent governments. Guess what? That tradition hasn't stopped. Because we have governments which represent themselves with wild beasts. Russia, the bear. England, the lion. Of course, if you live in America, it's the American eagle. France, the chicken. It's actually supposed to be a game cock, a very a bird that's always looking for a fight. Okay. Whatever, no, you make your own judgment there, but they're the chicken. Panthers and leopards are used in a lot of, to represent a lot of countries. And lions are used quite a bit. Birds of prey are used quite a bit. And so we live in what many people have called a beast system. You know, it's just the way it is. And where does that idea come from? Could it have come from prophecy? You know, the strength and the might of the animals around us that you know inhabit the earth. I think of a Kodiak bear. Years ago, I went into a museum and I stood next to a Kodiak bear and I came up to, and I'm 6 foot tall, and I came up to about his rib cage. Interesting. One swat from one of those paws, and that would be the end of you. So yeah, I guess that's why Russia chose the bear. Lions, the king of the jungle. Eagles, far-sighted. Interestingly enough, eagles will eat carrion. But I love eagles. We've got a resident eagle here. We get to see quite often, and he flies always. When he passes by, he almost always flies over the house, lets me know he's here. So, or actually, I think it's a female, but it is an American bald eagle, big bird. So we do live in this system. And when we look around at those who are at the effect of these governments, the citizens of each individual country, in a lot of cases, those people are suppressed. They are depressed. They're taken advantage of and they're downtrodden, most of them. Of course, there are those select few who do quite nicely. Who were, you know, born with the silver spoon, so to speak, who went to all the best universities, who were born from the right families. Right families, huh? Okay. That's interesting. Whose parents and grandparents and great-grandparents were in the right place at the right time. And they got, some of them got what they worked for. Some of them worked for evil. Some of them worked for power. Some of them were very corrupted. But it's interesting. All of a sudden, when you go back, you continue to go back in antiquity, you find religion working hand in hand with government all the way back to ancient Babylon. Where the Tower of Babel was created under the Nimrod rule in Samaria. But seven heads and ten horns, where does it come from? And we've talked about this before, seven world powers. Those powers had 10 kingdoms. Go down the list. Egypt was considered to be the first world power. Makes you wonder what we're finding out with the Great Pyramid of Giza. That may be one of the oldest cities on the planet and pre-flood. Unbelievable technology wrapped up with that. They'll never tell us the truth. At least academia will never tell us the truth. But we're discovering a little bit more and more each day about the whole world in which we live. And part of this is revelation, so we can wake up to what we see before us and then understand how it got there. So Egypt, Assyria, Babylonia, Medo-Persia, the Persian Empire, Cyrus the Great, Darius the Mede, we talked about them last week. Hello, Trump and Putin. We'll have to see how all that works out. After Persia, we get Greece, Rome. Rome gets two horns for Rome and Constantinople. Hello, Emperor Constantine, the Mithra worshiper. Mithra being the first star god. Again, going all the way back to ancient Babylon, the first star god, Tammuz, in Sumeria. The reincarnation of Nimrod, birthed by his mother, Semiramis, the whore of Babylon, was also the queen. right families, because this has all been tracked all through antiquity. And I'm going to make that point in just a little bit. But here's getting back to the scarlet-colored dragon. This fiery-colored dragon, it's an off-planet entity. And where does the battle start? Where does this war break out? It breaks out in heaven. Where is heaven? That would be off-planet Earth, wouldn't it? Think about this. We're now off-planet, so we're talking about an extraterrestrial war. Let's give it the terms that we use today. Where are these entities from? Who are the warring sides? And actually, when you examine the scriptures, you find out that they're rebels. Rebels within a government who turned away, who splintered off to dominate the humans and the third dimension in which we live, or this universe, basically. But where are they from? Are they from other galaxies? Well, we're told that we've got Palladians with us, and we're told that we have Arcturians, which I think come from Sirius, the dog star planet. And then you've got the Northerns, and you've got Reptilians, and you've got all sorts of extraterrestrials, which seem to have... A lot of people within MUFON and other organizations which keep track of them all. And how many are real and how many are fake. I mean, I didn't put a whole lot of faith in blue chicken people. Thank you, Corey Good. Yeah, blue chicken people just didn't strike me as being something realistic. And then we get the movie Avatar. Well, they're not chicken people, but whatever. So there's a lot, my point is there's a lot of hoaxes out there. And what my own personal experience has been within the, quote, UFO alien community is that it's a controlled narrative. Speak outside the box and they don't want to know who you are. Talk the truth and they don't want to know who you are. Yeah, we've only got an hour of my own personal experiences, but real quick, I was invited to speak at several different events and say, oh, we're going to have you on. We're going to have you on. You know, we'll fly you out. Okay, yep, never happened. Third, fourth, fifth time, never happened. Never happened at all. I was offered a TV program. UFO Hunters, it was... it was a group out of British Columbia, Vancouver, that was putting together an investigative team, and I was invited to be on the team. All we have to do is get you past the network heads. Never heard from them again. So, yes, it's a controlled narrative. And speak outside the box on this controlled narrative, just as if you do within academia, and you are censored. blacklisted. You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, okay, I'll take you guys on with evolution any day of the week with genetic engineering, and I'll tie it back to these same entities we're talking about now. Part of the Satanic Rebellion. Seven heads. How can we make this tie of extraterrestrials, which is actually what's going on the planet? If we go back to the book of Daniel, Daniel is praying to Father Yahweh, Yahuwah, and Daniel wants to know what's going to be happening with Israel. And he's praying. He's not getting an answer. Finally, the angel Gabriel shows up and he says, I'm paraphrasing here, he says, sorry, I'm late, but I was fighting the prince of Persia and he would not let me pass. And so I had to go get Michael, the foremost one among your people, to fight the prince of Persia so I could deliver this message. And he delivers the message to Daniel. And when he's done, he says, okay, I've got to go back and fight the prince of Persia. And look, the prince of Greece is coming. So the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece, two world powers being controlled by extraterrestrial entities, because Gabriel was an extraterrestrial, an interdimensional, most likely. And as we just read in Revelation, Michael and his angels battle the dragon and its angels. And so what we have here is a war between alien groups, extraterrestrials. Hello, Star Wars. And that's why it touched so many people. The Force. May the Force be with us. Who and what is the Force? The creative energy, which is the universe in which we live, and all parallel universes associated with us? According to superstring theory, parallel universes don't have to stop. There can be an infinite number of them. For within my Father's house, there are many mansions. Really? Many mansions within a house. Those are Jesus' words about heaven. Many mansions within a house. What did he mean by that? It's interesting, if you get the exact copy of what the Dead Sea Scrolls says in that verse. You can't. It's in the book of John. You cannot come away with any other explanation that we are talking about, that we will be given the ability for interdimensional travel when the time comes. When our bodies are perfect and we can handle it, right now we can't even handle the truth. Yeah, most people can't handle the truth. And because they can't handle the truth, we have a lot of people that are searching and lost because they won't accept what is fact. No, it can't be that way. What do you mean I have to take responsibility for myself and that's the truth? Yeah. We all have to take responsibility for ourselves first. But anyway, getting back to this fiery colored dragon, it's controlled, or we can see the interdimensional connection of controlling heads or controlling the government, who's over what governments, which would be indicative of the different world powers and other minor powers. Seven heads, interestingly enough, that's a spiritually complete number. Seven, ten horns, is an earthly complete number. Those are numbers that are repeated over and over again in the scriptures with that application. Interestingly enough, according to string theory, there are seven other spatial planes which have to be there to support our three physical planes, bringing a total of 10. Without those seven, hour three do not exist. And so spiritually, I guess we call it spiritually speaking, these beasts are complete. They are complete. They're not going any further, except for one. Except for one. But we'll cover that next week. Anyway, so in Revelation chapter 12, we see that this dragon, this fiery colored dragon, was cast out of heaven. It lost the war. It did not succeed. And now it was cast down. Can we figure approximately when this happened? Yes, we can. We absolutely can. And we can talk about one of the last heads of this seven-headed, ten-horned, fiery-colored dragon. That date would be approximately 1913. 1912, somewhere right in there, maybe it started a little bit sooner, but we can pretty much guess that when the dragon and its angels were cast down to earth, woe for the earth, and we got the First World War. We got the first worldwide pandemic, Spanish flu, whether naturally or created, that's up to you. Do the research, make your own decision. But we got a lot of evil unleashed on this planet, including 1913, a whole new way of banking, which was going to extort the people, which is a rule that we're under now. And herein comes the earthly tie and our second wild beast. And there's a connection between these two. We find out about the second wild beast, and that is in Revelation chapter 13. And it says, John is saying, "And I saw a wild beast ascending out of the sea with ten horns and seven heads, and upon its horns ten diadems." Sound a little bit like the dragon? "But upon its heads blasphemous names. Now the wild beast that I saw was like a leopard, but its feet were as those of a bear, and its mouth was a lion's mouth." Leopard, bear, lion. How about that? "And the dragon gave to the beast its power, its throne, and great authority." So what is this beast which ascends out of the sea? The sea is, actually there'll be another reference to the sea in chapter 17 with Babylon the Great. The harlot that sits on many waters. But the sea, there's nothing stable about the ocean. One minute it could be calm, the next minute it can be tumultuous. You could have devastating hurricanes pop up, wind squalls. I got caught in a wind squall on a sailboat once. That was interesting. At night, many, many moons ago. When it was over, there was no wind. Everything turned to glass. There wasn't enough wind to blow out a match, if you can find a dry match. But, those things happen. It's not a stable platform, not like the ground. And so this beast descends out of the sea, the unstable elements of the world. And when does it come out? And who is this beast? Well, history would show that this beast is most likely the League of Nations, which comes out of the turmoil of World War I. But who's really behind the League of Nations? Now they say, well, Rockefeller is behind the United Nations. It's the Rockefeller Group. who was behind the League of Nations? What things happened? Can we track this? Yes, we can. We can track it back approximately right to its birth almost, but we're not going to quite go back that far. We're just going to go back a few hundred years. And we're going to go specifically to one family which kind of led a group, but there are many factions to this group. And that would be the Rothschild family. Do your own research. If you can find the information, don't forget about looking for it on Google. Google, looking for anything on Google is like looking for a needle in a haystack. It's usually, and AI is stupid. I've tried AI, at least one version of AI, and I had a 20-minute conversation with AI, and it took that long for AI to actually come back and agree. Well, I asked it, well, isn't that what I said to start with? And AI said, well, yeah, I guess, yes, it is. Stupid AI. Anyway, artificial intelligence. Yeah, there's no real intelligence there. And that's one of the problems. But getting back to our situation here, we go back to the Rothschild family because we can actually track what happens here within history. The Rothschilds basically started out with the family name Bauer. Outside, they were basically, I guess, pawnbrokers back in the early 1700s. And no doubt part of the Khazarian Mafia family, they were actually Molech worshippers. A red star was painted on their sign for their shop, and it was the star of Molech that was painted on their shop as their sign. That's actually been changed from red to blue, and now that it's got a blue color, same star, it's the Star of David. Yeah, if King David knew about that, he'd be spinning in his grave. But anyway, regardless, Amschel Rothschild, one's father, one's son. Anyway, I believe it was Meyer Amschel Rothschild. He learned banking through the Oppenheimer family, and he actually became like the pawn broker to the royalty. He started, they traded in jewelry and gold coins and things of antiquity, and they became closely associated with royalty. And it was actually, they got their big break with, I believe it was, Prince Edward, the first or second, I forget which one, but Prince Edward of Germany, and they became his banker. There's a very interesting thing here. Prince Edward was commissioned by King George to send the Hessian mercenaries to America to fight against the American Revolution. And so money was paid to Edward, who deposited it with the Rothschild family. And then Edward fell out of favor with the royal family. And I believe he eventually was, he had a run for his life. And I think eventually they found him and killed him. And guess who got to keep the millions of Prince Edward? And the Hessians never got paid. And the Rothschilds pocketed the money. If you've seen the movie Trading Places with Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy, this is based on the next coup of the Rothschild family. Each one of those five Rothschild sons, and each one became a banker, what part of a banking family in five different countries. Originally in Germany, then you had England, France, Switzerland, and Italy. And during the Napoleonic Wars, the Rothschilds actually bought a gold mine in Spain. And for they agreed to finance Napoleon. And they were helping finance the British Wellington's troops. So they were, but for Napoleon's agreement, they got to run the Bank of France. And what happened with their move with the Bank of England, they had heard that the only ships that could go past through the English Channel unstopped or unchallenged were the Rothschild ships. So when Napoleon was defeated at Waterloo, word got back to England that the English had won the war. Napoleon was defeated. Well, Rothschild thought, okay, how can I turn around? This was Amschel Meyer Rothschild, I believe, the son. He said, let's start selling our bonds. And so they caused a run on the bank, where everybody saw that the Rothschilds were selling their bonds, and they thought, we got to sell our bonds too. They must know something. And so there was a mass sell-off. And when the price got down far enough, the Rothschilds had their agents quietly buying those bonds up for pennies on the pound. And then the next day, when word came into England that Wellington had won, the price of those bonds skyrocketed, and Rothschild captured the Bank of England. And the famous words, or infamous words, come, I care not who sits on the throne. Let me run the banking system, and I will run the country. Hello, Federal Reserve. That 1776... as well, there was also another group that had come to power and was immediately banned, and that was the Illuminati. There were groups within groups. The Illuminati was basically, from the best that I can figure, a spring off of the original Knights Templar, who were pretty much took the money and ran. That's a whole nother story, though, that which is interconnected. But right now, we're in Napoleon's era. And so now we've got the Rothschilds, who capture the Bank of England, who run the Bank of Germany, have the Bank of France, have a bank established in Switzerland. Eventually, they would become the bankers to the Vatican and have control of the Vatican money, low infiltration. But when after the war, I believe it was the first Congress of Vienna, the purpose was to redraw the boundaries between countries after the Napoleonic Wars. It was like, okay, well, what belongs to who? And so they actually went back. It was during that time, and it was the Rothschilds' desire to put together a League of Nations at that time. A European Union. And he had a lot of support for it, but the one thing that he didn't have was Tsar Alexander's money, because he was not the banker to the Tsar. And the Tsar just got involved in Napoleon, and he was with Napoleon, and he was done. Now, interestingly enough, at that time, the Russians and the English were related. The Germans, Russians, and English through royalty were all related, basically. But Tsar Alexander said, you don't control me, and you don't control my money, and I'm not going to be part of your club. And Rothschild was so enraged that he said, my descend, he told the Tsar, my descendants will see your descendants wiped off the face of the earth. And that actually came about in 1917. When did World War One break out? But here's a major factor once we start bringing this in. The Rothschild family, who was probably one of the richest families, if not the richest family on the planet, said to control over $500 trillion. They're also the biggest Satanists on the planet. No doubt part of those from the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews and are not, but are lying. They will be made to come before our, to kneel before our feet and do obeisance, for God will show them how much he loves us. Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. Paraphrased. But yeah, those from the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews and are not, but are lying. The infiltration goes back a long, long ways. And so what we find is that toward the end of the 19th century, there was going to be another Congress. It was going to be in Munich, Germany. It was the first Zionist Congress. And when it was discovered that the main reason for their meeting was to relocate Jews to the area that we know as Palestine or old Judea or Israel, the local Jewish population got so upset because they were living in Bavaria for almost 2,000 years since the first century. They went up in arms, and the protest was so bad that the that they actually had to move the Congress to Basel, Switzerland. And that is where the plan came about to relocate the Jews back to the homeland, even though the Jews didn't want to go. So how do you foment that? How do you manage that? It's also said that that is where the denied book, The Protocol of the Learned Elders of Zion, came from. Interestingly enough, the story is, oh, well, that's a plagiarized hoax. Why would anybody want to plagiarize a hoax? And why, if you had a copy of that book after the Russian Revolution in 1917, why would they put you to death for having that? Just owning that book could have gotten you executed. Why did Henry Ford almost lose Ford Motors for republishing that book? A plagiarized hoax? Interesting. I wonder what it says. But that's a whole nother show. I do know what it says. I read it about three times, and it's a playbook for the last 100 years. Yeah. It's a playbook. And anybody who believes it, or anybody who talks about it, will be censored, if not beyond that. Because as it says, we control the press. Think about that. Who controls TV? Who controls what we see on our computers? Who controls what we hear on radio stations? Who controls the airwaves? Oh, doesn't it say that Satan controls the air? Interestingly enough, yes, it does. So here, we see the fermenting, a whole bunch of issues start coming up with World War One. We actually have the four riders of the apocalypse, or the four horsemen of the apocalypse, start off, and I'm only going to talk about the first horseman. It is a white horse, and the rider is dressed in white and has a crown and is holding a bow. Why isn't the bow loaded? Why isn't he holding a bow and arrow? Because the first arrow was shot in heaven. Because that's where war broke out, in heaven. And then it broke out on earth. Woe, woe for the earth. And so we had war break out in World War I, 1914. 1913, the year before that, we had one of the worst presidents the United States ever had, Woodrow Wilson, sell the United States out in 2013 to essentially the Federal Reserve, Rothschild, and Rockefeller, and a bunch of other families owned a bank, a central banking system. And then at the end of World War One, you had the formation of the League of Nations. The League of Nations, represented by the world powers involved in World War One, but it was mostly Europeans. And the United States Congress did not want to join the League of Nations. They said, that's a European club. We don't want to have anything to do with it. Even though Woodrow Wilson wrote the charter for the League of Nations. So it was under World War One that the Balfour Agreement was accepted in 1917. It was in 1917 that the Bolshevik Revolution saw the death of the overrunning of Russia with the communist ideology. And we saw the royalty Tsar Nicholas and his family executed. So Tsar Alexander Amschelmeyer Rothschild's threat to Tsar Alexander, that my descendants will see your descendants wiped off the face of the earth, actually happened. And the Bolshevik Revolution was financed by the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers. Huh. Imagine that. Imagine that. And they more than likely used the Tsar's own money at $68 million with the Rothschild Bank. It's enough for an overthrow, isn't it? Again, kill the owner of the money, keep the money. And that's what they did. So there would be no claim. Wow. And these are the people who established our banking system today. Think about it. And so you've got the United States, which is not part of the League of Nations, and you don't have really any Jews back in Palestine or the area of Judea. And even though you've got a legal right and endorsement by the king who captured that, whose troops captured the land under the First World War. So what do you need? A Second World War. And so as you read Revelation chapter 13, you find that this wild beast which ascends out of the sea gets a death stroke. But its death stroke gets healed. And we have the appearance of the United Nations, which is a Rothschild-Rockefeller-controlled entity, which essentially is the seat of Satan's throne here on the planet. Think about it. You want to know what Satan's throne is? Go down to the United Nations building. Now, there's actually one more prophecy that has to do with this throne of Satan in Revelation chapter 16. We have 16:10. It says one of God's bowls of anger gets poured out upon the throne of the wild beast, which is Satan's throne, and its kingdom becomes darkened. So the United States has gotten into a very interesting point where it's like a lot of people don't want to be involved with NATO. We don't want to be part of the United Nations anymore. We're saying that it's a hypocritical country, company, not a country, but company, really, and that it is a company, And you got the World Health Organization hooked up with the United Nations. And the closer you look at the United Nations, the more that entity stinks of death and satanic ritual. And the United Nations has the Luciferian Trust. Keep it going. So it is definitely what we could say, using the throne or authority of the scarlet-colored wild beast, Satan's organization, his spiritual organization. We're running out of time here this evening to actually get into this much more, but we'll talk about this more from an alien viewpoint, because that is also something else that came out of World War One. Prior to World War One, prior to the turn of the century, there was a group, the Vril Society, and they actually combined with the Thule Society, and they were a society that sacrificed children to demons. They sacrificed children to communicate with extraterrestrials. How did they do that? Interesting. Now, there's so many parts to this. Jack Parsons, JPL Laboratory, said that he carried out Babylonian rituals in the desert for information for the technology that he needed for his jet propulsion company. And he got it right one time. He figured it out and he got the ritual right. And he got his information through extraterrestrial communication, carrying out ancient Babylonian rituals. The gods answered. Which gods? The extraterrestrial aliens that made themselves gods. So here we are today. Here we are today. And look at the pandemic that we had, the whole outbreak that we experienced just a few years here, and we were being told what to do by the World Health Organization, which is part of the United Nations. How many deaths did they cause? Mandated all sorts of things. Took away our civil liberties. Stand 6 feet apart. Don't breathe on me. No, isn't that supposed to be don't tread on me? Come on, what is this? It's time to grow up, look at it realistically, grow a backbone, and take a step forward in the right direction. Once we understand the deceit and how it works against us, then we'll be able to combat this. And we'll be able to look at it through slightly different lenses. Extraterrestrials, demonic forces, Bible calls them angels, Satan's angels. How about that? And why so many different classes? We'll have to talk about that too in a future show, because it's all coming together. We've got a few more beasts to cover. We'll do that in the next coming weeks. We do have a two-horned beast that looks like a lamb but speaks like a dragon that can call fire down from the sky. We also have a scarlet-colored wild beast, 7 heads, 10 horns, which carries Babylon the great whore of Babylon, Mystery Babylon. So we'll get to cover those two, because we're right there. We are in these prophecies. They are playing out before us. And we'll talk more. That scarlet-colored wild beast with the 7 heads and 10 horns gives birth, essentially, to an eighth beast, the eighth king, which springs from 7. Who's the 7th king? Oh, so much conspiracy, because it goes right back and ties into England and what we saw there with Trump, the Queen, and both Prince Charles and King Charles. The first time he was a prince, the second time, most interesting. Yeah, that'll be probably within the next week or two. We'll talk about this, that scarlet-colored wild beast itself and Babylon the Great. So I'm pretty sure we're coming to an end here on our time. Mr. Producer Man, how many more minutes do we have?
You got four.
4 minutes. Super. So anyway, folks, you will have to tune in next week to carry on the saga. Sorry for some of the technical difficulties that we have. When you're over the target, expect blowback and technical difficulties. Somebody will slip up somewhere. If it's not them trying to quiet us down, shut us up, cause issues, add their own things that they want to add. But anyway, we haven't had a whole, but we're getting the message out. And so we've got a few shows. Go back to the archives. And hey, if you made it this far, join the channel. Give us a like button. Share us with your friends. We try to cover truth from an angle that people don't think about. And yet, this information, as you learn it, can literally save your life. We're in for some interesting times. Time to start getting your personal power together, and with accurate knowledge, we'll be able to survive anything that comes toward us. Stay in prayer, stay in love, and stay in peace. Join the station. Share us with your friends. Give us a like button. We're on YouTube. We are on Rumble and a bunch of other different places as well. I can't tell you where, but I know we're out there. Anyway, go to either location and give us a like. We also listen to the Positude podcast, which comes up tomorrow. That would be Maggie Hart at 8 o'clock Eastern. And then Riscala Acceptance Guys' show, Red Pill Reality, 9 o'clock on Sunday. I mean, on Saturday. Saturday night at 9, so be sure to listen to that. And again, like what you hear, share it with others. Keep us going on the air. We want to grow the station, grow the network, so that people get a shot at reality as opposed to what we find as the other side's propaganda. Yeah, we want to keep up on the news. We want to keep up with what's going on because a lot of it is fitting with what we see within biblical scripture. It's coming around, and we do live in the time and the fulfillment of Revelation. And while it might be scary for those people who comprehend and apply the information in their lives and develop the attitude that we need to develop and develop our own personal connection back to the Creator, back to Yahuwah, become part of that family and part of that government. You know, not too many people like what Trump's been doing here lately. Does man have the answer for government? I doubt it. We'd like to see him gain a little bit. There might be a little bit of hope. A future show is going to come up about Stern, the Mandela Effect, and the Eighth King. They all tie together. It's right in Revelation 9 and Revelation 17. Aren't these interesting times? So just to give you an insight on future episodes to come. And I'm pretty sure we're probably just about out of time here. Is that about right?
You got about 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Hey, how about that? So with that, I'm going to say love and blessings to all. And Riscala, thank you very much for producing the show. You know, it's one thing when I give up a night to talk about this, and it's, you know, I got to depend on Riscala, and Riscala's got to give up a night too, especially, you know, on a night when all the families are together. Folks, I hope you had a good full belly and you have a good evening and enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend. Love and blessings to all. Have a great week. We'll be back here same time, same place next week. Join the station. Love and blessings, folks. Have a great night.